And we continue on with Viktor Skupi from the Charles University in Prague, and he will tell us about equatorial inspirals of rotating objects into black holes. Please.
Thank you. My name is Viktor Skoupi. I'm a PhD student of Georgios Lukas Garalkopoulos at the Astronomical Institute of the Czech Academy of Sciences. And I would like to present our recent paper, Adiabatic Equatorial Inspirals of a Spinning Body into a Kerr Black Hole. I would like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to talk here. Our motivation is the calculation of gravitational wave templates for detection of gravitational waves using future space-based detectors. We are interested in systems called systems called extreme mass ratio in spirals with spinning secondary, and we are calculating the phase shifts between these systems, phase shifts of gravitational waves between gravitational waves from emery with spinning and non-spinning body. So first I will give some introduction to gravitational waves and emeries. Then I will talk about the dynamics of spinning particles in the curved spacetimes. After that I will describe gravitational wave fluxes from these orbits. And then I will talk about the calculation of adiabatic inspirals. So gravitational waves are disturbances of the curvature of spacetime, and their sources can be black hole binaries, supernovae, or pulsars. Here you can see the spectrum of gravitational waves and the high-frequency waves can be detected with ground-based detectors such as LIGO, and their sources are compact binary in spirals. Low-frequency gravitational waves will be possible to detect with space-based detectors such as LISA, and their sources are extreme mass ratio in spirals, for example. And very low gravitational waves will be possible to detect with international pulsar timing array, and their sources are stochastic background. And so LISA is a future space-based gravitational wave detector that will detect gravitational waves in the millihertz regime, and because the signals will overlap, matched filtering will be used for the detection, and because of this, we have to generate accurate gravitational wave templates. So extreme mass ratio in spirals are systems with a stellar mass black hole or neutron star, which is orbiting a supermassive black hole with the mass ratio between the secondary and primary mass between 10 to minus 7 and 10 to minus 4. This system is losing energy and angular momentum due to gravitational radiation reaction, and is emitting gravitational waves to infinity, which will be possible to detect, and it will be an opportunity to study strong gravitation around supermassive black holes and to test general relativity. So as you have seen this morning, the phase of the gravitational wave can be expanded in the mass ratio, where the first term is called the adiabatic term, and it's calculated from the gravitational wave fluxes to infinity and to the horizon of the central black hole. And this post-adiabatic term is in the order of radians, so it cannot be neglected. And it contains, for example, the contribution from the spin of the smaller secondary body. So we studied this contribution while neglecting other parts of the post-adiabatic term. So we modeled the system as a spinning particle moving in the Kerr space-time, where where we used Powell-Dipole approximation. In this approximation, the stress energy looks like this, where this is the monopole part and this is the dipole part. From the conservation laws of this stress energy tensor, Matheson, Papa, Petru, Dixon equations can be derived for the four momentum P and spin tensor S. In our setup, the mass of the smaller of the spinning body mu and the magnitude of its spin sigma are conserved, and this dimensionless spin sigma is of the same order as the mass ratio, so it is very small. Thanks to the Kling vectors of the Kerr spacetime, energy and total angular momentum in the z direction are also conserved. We are interested in equatorial orbits of spinning particles where the spin is parallel to the z axis. Then it's possible to simplify the Matheson, Papa, Petru, Dixon equations to obtain three first-order ordinary differential equations, which are parametrized by the constants of motion. We can also parametrize the orbits with eccentricity E and simulatus rectum P, which are defined from the turning points. So here, R1 is the pericenter, which is shown with green dots, and R2 is the apocenter, shown with red dots. So from the equations of motion, it's possible to derive analytic formulas for energy and angular momentum, and formulas for the numerical calculation of the radial and azimuthal frequency. And we have linearized these formulas to obtain these geodesic parts for non-spinning particle and these corrections due to the secondary spin. Here you can see that although the simulatus rectum and eccentricity are the same, the trajectories are different because of the spin curvature coupling. So here, so now from these quantities, we have calculated gravitational wave fluxes from these orbits. We used Tolkowski formalism, where the gravitational wave is treated as a perturbation of the background spacetime, and where a projection of the Weyl tensor is calculated using Tolkowski equation, which is second-order partial differential equation for the field with source term calculated from the stress energy tensor. We have solved this equation in the frequency domain using decomposition into Fourier modes with azimuthal number m and frequency omega. Then the equation can be separated into two ordinary differential equations for the angular part S, and which is solved by spin-weighted spheroidal harmonics, and this radial part. The radial equation can be solved using Green function formalism, where the solution is written using these coefficients C plus minus, and homogeneous solutions R plus minus, which satisfy boundary conditions at the horizon and at infinity. Thanks to the periodicity of the radial motion, the frequency spectrum is discrete and frequencies can be calculated as this combination of the orbital frequencies and integer coefficients m and n. So we have derived these coefficients for gravitational waves from eccentric equatorial orbits of spinning particles in the Kerr spacetime, and we have linearized them in the secondary spin. These coefficients can be used to find the waveform from orbits, from stationary orbits that are not losing energy and angular momentum. And they can be also used to calculate the gravitational wave fluxes, the energy and angular momentum fluxes to infinity. And similar formulas can be derived for the fluxes to the horizon. So now I will describe the numerical calculation. So first we have calculated the orbital functions linearized in the secondary spin, and then we have numerically calculated the geodesic part of the coefficients and the linear in-spin part. This calculation was done for many LMN modes, where for given accuracy we found a number of modes we had to sum. And because this calculation is computationally expensive, we have calculated the fluxes in many points in the parameter space in the PE plane, and then we used Chebyshev interpolation to interpolate the fluxes. Here you can see the PE plane with the grid, where the grid is in a different coordinates than P and E, so this is why it looks like this. We have used these fluxes to calculate the adiabatic in spirals. Because the fluxes are very small, we can use two timescale approximation, where the particle is treated as if it is shifting between orbits with given orbital parameters. And thanks to the flux balance laws, the fluxes of energy and angular momentum to infinity and to the horizon are equal to the rate of change of the energy and angular momentum of the system. Then evolution equations for P and E can be written like this. And we have again linearized the evolution in the secondary spin to obtain the evolution of in spiral with non-spinning secondary and the corrections due to the secondary spin. Then we can write evolution equations for the geodesic part and the corrections. On the plot you can see examples of some in spirals where the evolution is like this, that the simulator shape and eccentricity are decreasing until they reach the last stable orbit. So once we have the evolution of P and E, we can calculate the waveform from in spiraling orbit. It is calculated as this sum over modes, but now the coefficients are slowly evolving, and the phases are calculated using the integration over slowly evolving frequencies. We have again linearized the phase shifts to obtain the phase from Emery with non-spinning secondary and the phase shifts due to the secondary spin. So here are some examples of the phase shifts. The left plots show in spirals in Schwarzschild, and the right plots are for Kerr with A equal to 0.9. The upper plots are the azimuthal phase shifts and the lower are the radial phase shifts. You can see that the azimuthal phase shifts are increasing until they reach a last stable orbit where they diverge. And the radial phase shifts are increasing at first, but then they start to decrease and diverge. So to summarize it, for the detection of Emery, we need to generate gravitational wave templates with high accuracy, and the spin of the smaller body must be included. So because of this, we have calculated orbital quantities of spinning body in the equatorial plane and linearized them in the secondary spin. And then, using Tsiolkovsky equation, we calculated gravitational wave fluxes to infinity and to the horizon from these orbits. And finally, these fluxes were used to calculate the adiabatic in spirals and to find the phase shifts between M-ray with spinning and non-spinning secondary. Thank you for your attention.
So around slide 8 or 9, you had a formula for the flux of angular momentum, which looks positive to me, which I find very unexpected. I mean, I don't... Is there... can you comment on this? I mean, flux of energy positive, that's kind of... actually, I would expect another sign, but...
Here, M and omega can be negative.
M can be negative.
Okay, I see.
So it's
not positive. Okay, good. So thanks.
Any further questions or comments, please?
So for the MPD equation, you generally have to impose some spin supplementary condition. The first question would be, what spin supplementary condition are you using? And the second one is, if the results further on depend in any way on changing the spin supplementary condition?
We are using Tulchev-Dixon spin supplementary condition, where the spin tensor contracted with the four momentum is zero. And in the linear order, the results shouldn't depend on the spin supplementary condition, because when Matheson Papapetru-Dixon equations are linearized in the secondary spin, then the four velocity and four momentum are parallel. So the spin supplementary condition, spin supplementary condition with four velocity and four momentum are basically the same.
So you have the aim to calculate phase shifts, yes?
Yes.
Is it observable data from observations? Is it data from observations?
These phase shifts are only from the theoretical calculations, because it will be detected with LISA, which is planned to be launched in the 30s. So they are not yet detected, any detectors. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Piotr? Sorry. Let's take Leo first. Sorry,
I can shout.
No. The microphone is already in place.
A quick question: is it a line spin you were looking at, or is it allowed to?
I'm sorry.
It's spin aligned.
Spin alignment.
Yes, the spins are aligned, because then the particle can stay in the equatorial plane.
I see. Yes. So you assume that the spin is aligned.
Yes. Okay.
You mentioned that you have explicit solutions of the equations of motion with the spin. How general these solutions are?
I'm sorry.
Explicit solutions for the spin motion.
Yes, there are explicit solutions for energy and angular momentum, because the equations of motion are quadratic in E and JZ, but for the evolution, for example, for the evolution of T and phi, and for the frequencies, you need integrals which are which cannot be solved using elliptic integrals.
But obviously you don't have the most general solution for the, but some specific cases, that's what.
This is for the specific case when the spins are parallel.
And on the plane.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So if there are no further questions or comments, then let's thank the speaker again.